Penny from the borders and hightail it out of town before... Caitlin returned, holding a bouquet of coral-colored roses and wearing an impish grin. Look what I have. Too late. Josh held up his hands, palms out. Whoa there, Missy. She giggled. Don't worry. I've caught plenty of bouquets in my day, but I've yet to land a husband. I think you're probably safe. Probably? She shrugged, her eyes sparkling like champagne. Like they say, there's a first time for everything. Not for me, there's not, he warned, making sure to meet her gaze. Not when it comes to bridal bouquets. A teasing note lingered in her voice when she said, You sound serious. I am very serious. I sense a story there. I guess it's your good luck that I don't have a reason to move to Oklahoma. She slipped her arm through his and said, These heels are starting to talk to me. Shall we sit down for a bit? Relieved by the change in subject, he escorted her back to their table. Would you like another glass of wine? Yes, I do think I would. Thank you. Be right back. While Caitlin surreptitiously kicked off her shoes and massaged her instep, Josh made his way to the bar station and ordered champagne for her and a club soda with lime for himself. On the return trip to the table, the sight of Caitlin's bare leg revealed to the thigh by the side slit in her dress distracted him. He only vaguely noticed the stir in the crowd of wedding guests, the hoots, the catcalls, the wolf whistles. So Josh was totally unprepared when a black satin garter came sailing over the heads of the crowd and landed in his lowball glass. Soda splashed, the crowd gasped. Still seated at their table, Caitlin's laughter rang out over the room like wedding bells. Danger, danger, danger. Disaster. His stomach sank. His hopes evaporated. There goes my plan to seduce her into bed tonight. Hooking up with Caitlin Timberlake in the wake of this double wedding tradition whammy would be begging for a visit by bad karma. Josh admitted to being superstitious. He was the king of snake bit, as they called it in Oklahoma. Extremely unlucky. Maybe even cursed. He'd been born with a target tattooed on his back. How else could you explain taking a tornado hit 4 times? His cursed luck was one of the reasons that the bride's garter, currently swimming in his club soda, gave him the heebie-jeebies. Once, years ago, he'd planned to get married. Never again. He'd intended to be a father. Never, ever again. How did that old saying go? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He'd challenged fate once, and it had bitten him in the ass. Not only did he have genetics working against him, but destiny appeared to be his own personal bitch. Pasting a good sport smile upon his face, he fished the garter out of his drink and held it up like the prize it was meant to be, not the omen he considered it. The photographer snapped his picture. The groomsman threw his arm around Josh and camera shutters clicked. The bride and Caitlin arrived, laughing at how the groom overshot his groomsman. The photographer took a series of photos with the bride and groom, Caitlin and Josh, and the bouquet and garter. I can't believe this, his date said to him. You weren't even trying to catch it. What are the chances that we'd both end up with the prize? What are the chances? Josh repeated, a wave of unease rippling through him. After all the dancing and standing and leaping, I really need to change my shoes. I forgot to bring my flats to the bridal suite, so I'm gonna run up to my room. I'll just be a few minutes.
I'll walk with you.
Are you sure? They're about to cut the cake. I've noticed how you've been eyeing the chocolate groom's cake.
I do have a sweet tooth that doesn't stop, Josh admitted, setting his soda and the garter on their table. But I can wait until after you change your shoes. It's a big cake. Caitlin laughed, set the bouquet down next to the garter, and looped her arm through his. They walked out of the ballroom and into the hallway. There, she surprised Josh by pulling on his arm to stop him. This has been fun. I'm so glad you're here. Getting trapped in that gondola was the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. Thank you. Then she went up on her toes and kissed him. Josh kissed her right back. The touch of her lips torched his bad karma spidey sense to ashes and left in its place the need to get her into bed as soon as possible. When she finally broke the kiss, he croaked out, "Thank you." She grinned up into his eyes, then turned toward the elevators. That's when the hairs at the back of Josh's neck rose. He glanced around until a pair of glaring eyes froze him in his tracks. If looks could kill. In his mid-50s, the man had silver at his temples, piercing blue-gray eyes, and a distinguished manner of carrying himself that suited a former federal judge and Eternity Springs' only resident attorney. His wife owned the Yellow Kitchen, Eternity Springs' best restaurant. She was classy, poised, and had a smile that lit up the room. She was looking the opposite way. Their last name was Timberlake, the same as the woman at his side whose lips were still swollen from his kiss. No, it couldn't be. She's from New York. She lives in New York. She never said she was from New York. Josh slowly released his hold on Caitlin's arm. Oh, holy hell. He knew that Mac and Allie Timberlake had a son. Chase lived in Eternity Springs and was a good friend of Josh's foster brother, Brick Callahan. Chase was married to Lori, the town's pretty veterinarian, whom Josh had come to know quite well since he'd decided to adopt Penny. Josh hadn't known that Chase had a sister. Yippee. He tried to tell himself that he was jumping to conclusions. Timberlake might not be as common as Smith or Jones, but this could be a coincidence. Maybe Mac Timberlake wasn't shooting daggers at him because he'd just caught Josh with his tongue down his daughter's throat. Maybe that look was nothing more than a bad case of indigestion or hemorrhoids. Even as the seed of hope sprouted, reality smiled and finger-waved. Reality in the guise of Celeste Blessing and her impishly twinkling blue eyes. Josh swallowed a groan. Celeste's presence put a whole new spin on the moment. Since the day he moved to Eternity Springs, Josh had heard tales of Celeste's coincidences. People said she was wise beyond measure, and that if she happened to give you a bit of advice, you'd be darned smart to listen to her. Celeste claimed that the valley that was home to Eternity Springs had a special healing magic to it. And Josh would be lying if he said the idea hadn't played a role in his decision to move there permanently. He fought the battle to stay healthy every darn day. Well, he wasn't in the valley now, was he? He'd left the safety of Eternity Springs to play tourist, and now the bridal bouquet and garter were hanging over his head. It appeared that he might be about to get the boutonniere beaten out of him. And he hadn't even gotten laid. Am I lucky or what? Journal entry. Funny how certain memories from childhood stick with you. I think I was 8, or maybe 9. It was after the divorce and we were working in Austin. A crew member's wife taught 4th grade, and she invited us to speak at their career day. I remember it was sometime in the fall, and it was hot. I didn't want to go. It was a day off, and I wanted to stay at the hotel and swim. But my mother insisted we go. I'll never forget walking into the building. It smelled like someone had opened 1,000 crayon tins at once. Man, I loved that smell. Still do. My mother and people in the office started talking and quit paying attention to me. I wandered away. Walked down a hall, my sneakers squeaked. I remember looking into a classroom. They were kids my age. 20 of them, maybe 30. Some of them had their hands raised, waving them around. It was a history class. The teacher asked a question, and I knew the answer. I stood there in the hall and raised my hand. I wanted to answer the question. I so badly wanted to answer the question. Then my mother called me, and we went to the classroom, and she did our presentation. Afterward, the kids asked me questions. I told them this was the first time I'd ever been to an actual school. I could tell that most of the kids thought that was the greatest thing ever. One of them said, "You're the luckiest kid in the world." But there was this one little girl. I'll never forget her. She had blonde hair and freckles, and she said, "I'd be lonely." My eyes watered up. I remember I was so afraid I'd start bawling right there. After that, whenever I needed to cry and couldn't, I mentally put myself back in that classroom. Worked like a charm. Chapter 3.
My parents? My parents are here? Caitlin stared at Mac and Allie in shock. What in the world were her parents doing here? They hadn't come for the wedding. They hadn't been invited. They had never even met Stephanie. They hadn't come to Telluride to see Caitlin either, because she hadn't told them she was coming to Colorado. This was an in-and-out trip, because her boss had denied her request for an extra day's vacation. She didn't have time to visit Eternity Springs, and she hadn't asked them to drive to see her, because she hadn't known how much free time she'd have for them. But here they were. She couldn't believe it. They were here, and they'd seen her. Even now, they moved up the hallway toward her. My parents are here. And there goes my hope to seduce Josh Tarkington tonight.
Sunshine! Mackenzie Timberlake threw his arms around Caitlin and pulled her close for a hug. What a great surprise. I had no clue we were coming here to visit you. Whose idea was it? Yours or your mom's? You sure had me fooled. I didn't suspect a thing.
Yeah, well, neither had she. Her father had some suspicions now, though, didn't he? His words might be friendly and mild, but his eyes shot daggers at Josh.
It's a surprise to me, too, Mac, Allie Timberlake said. Caitlin, don't you look gorgeous?
I think I've figured this out. You look like you're dressed for a wedding. And didn't you have a college friend getting married this month? A destination wedding?
I didn't know it was in Telluride.
I never told you, Caitlin admitted. Allie gave her daughter a hug. Because you wanted to surprise us, and you arranged for Celeste to get us here.
Celeste?
Caitlin looked beyond her parents and spied their family friend. Celeste Blessing was dressed for upscale restaurant dining in a flowing teal skirt and matching jacket. She smiled and finger-waved hello.
Well, good, Caitlin thought. I won't be alone with them.
Dad wouldn't give her the gilt full-court press in front of someone else. She returned Celeste's wave and confessed,
"Yes, it's my friend Stephanie's wedding. She got married here tonight. But I'm afraid I didn't arrange anything. Running into you is as big a surprise for me as it is for you."
Mac's brow dipped in a frown as he shifted his gaze from her to Josh.
"Did your car break down?"
He totally lost her on that one.
"My car?
What car? Daddy, I flew in from New York."
"Then why were you giving Celeste's mechanic a thank you kiss?"
Caitlin gaped at her father. A thank you kiss? Dad, seriously? That had been a take me upstairs and have your way with me kiss. Was he blind?
No, not at all. Hence the arrow eyes.
With that, Caitlin grew annoyed. What was with the overprotective father act? He had no business acting that way.
Josh isn't just my mechanic, Mac, Celeste said, stepping forward. He's the newest member of the Eternity Springs Chamber of Commerce,
and a mechanical magician. I'd had two other mechanics tell me my Goldwing needed to be sent to the motorcycle graveyard, but after Josh had it a week, it purrs like an angel.
I didn't know angels purred, Josh mumbled.
Caitlin shifted her gaze from her father to Celeste, and finally, to her date.
Wait a minute. You live in Eternity Springs?
Yes.
But you're from Oklahoma. You said you lived in Oklahoma and California. You never mentioned Colorado.
I've lived a lot of places, but I consider Oklahoma my home.
You didn't mention Eternity Springs either.
It's true, she hadn't. All she told him was that she lived in New York.
So you're a guest at the wedding too, Torkington?
Mac asked.
Yes.
Caitlin didn't like the note of challenge in her father's voice, and she'd had enough. Annoyance sharpened to anger. She didn't lose her temper often, but when she did, she made it count. It didn't help any that her feet were killing her. Thus fueled by fury and foot pain, she slipped her arm through Josh's, lifted her chin, and said,
I invited him, Daddy. I picked him up in a gondola cabin yesterday, and we've been having wild monkey sex ever since.
Oh, geez, Caitlin.
Josh grimaced, dropped his chin to his chest, and murmured,
I might as well put the garage up for sale now. Mr. Timberlake, that's not what happened.
Caitlin gave her hair a toss and showed a pugnacious chin. Josh, it's none of his business. This is ridiculous. I'm almost 30 years old. He's acting like he just caught us naked and going at it like rabbits in the middle of...
Sweetheart?
Allie Timberlake raised her voice, interrupting her daughter before turning a friendly smile toward Josh.
Hello, Josh. We met last summer at one of the Callahan parties, I believe.
Yes, Mrs. Timberlake, we did.
Call me Allie, please.
Mac and I did so much traveling this past year that we're a bit out of touch with events in Eternity Springs.
The automotive center that opened recently is yours?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you did a fabulous job renovating your place. It's so great to see the old buildings in town come alive again.
Thank you.
Caitlin stood silently fuming, while her mother made small talk with Josh, using good manners to smooth the choppy emotional waters. Allie was a pro at that sort of thing. Traditionally, she played the peacemaker in the Timberlake family. But at the moment, Caitlin didn't want peace. She was embarrassed and angry and, well, sexually frustrated. She wanted to tell her father to climb down off his high horse, but the longer her mother talked, the less likely Caitlin was to do it. Finally, Allie's exchange with Josh ended. Caitlin narrowed her gaze toward her father and framed the perfect, subtle but effective jab. But even as she opened her mouth to let it fly, her mother smiled at her and continued.
Caitlin, your father, Celeste, and I have been meeting with the management here at the hotel, and I've been on my feet all afternoon. These heels are killing me. We were just going upstairs to change. Would you and Josh like to meet us for a drink in half an hour?
Caitlin briefly closed her eyes and admitted defeat.
The wedding won't be over until midnight, Mom. In fact, I'd better be getting back there. I am a bridesmaid, after all.
Oh, yes, of course. You need to get back to the wedding. Why don't we meet for breakfast? Say, 8 o'clock in the main restaurant?
We can wait until midnight,
Mac protested.
No, we can't.
Allie crossed to the elevator and pushed the button.
Good night, sweetheart. See you in the morning.
Good night, Josh.
The elevator doors opened and Allie dragged Mac inside. Celeste gave Caitlin a quick hug, looked up at Josh, and smiled.
I can't wait to hear all about how you two met. I've always heard that Telluride was a great place for romance.
Mac held the elevator doors for Celeste until she darted into the car. Once the doors finally shut, Caitlin closed her eyes.
Are you going to tell me I had one too many glasses of champagne and I'm really passed out and dreaming?
No, Josh said, his tone flat. I'm afraid this was all too real.
Caitlin buried her face in her hands. Her shoulders started to shake. Finally, she couldn't hold back her hysteria-tinged laughter. I can't believe this. I seriously cannot believe this. I can? That's the way my luck always runs. Josh gestured toward the elevator. Still want to go change your shoes? More than just about anything. But I don't dare. The way my luck is running, my parents are liable to be in the room across the hall from mine. No way I'm going to risk running into them again tonight. Especially not with you in tow, she added silently. I'll just go barefoot. Won't be the first time I've danced barefoot at a wedding. Let's go back into the ballroom. He visibly hesitated, and Caitlin got the impression that he was about to beg off. If that happened, she just might cry. She had plans for Josh Tarkington. She wasn't going to let her parents or his current place of residence ruin them. Caitlin caught his hand and pulled him toward the ballroom. We'd better hurry, or the cake will be gone. Your sweet tooth will never forgive you. She wasn't certain he wouldn't decamp until the hostess handed him a piece of cake. Despite the fact that he didn't seem the type to eat and run, she nevertheless kept watch on his progress with the dessert and coaxed him back onto the dance floor as soon as he finished. I thought your feet hurt, he protested as she reached up and linked her hands behind his neck. They do. She put some smolder into her eyes and licked her lips as she smiled up at him. I'm hoping you'll do that lift-me-off-the-ground thing again. He sighed audibly, his gaze fastened on her mouth. You are dangerous, Caitlin Timberlake. His hands gripped her hips and he lifted her, twirling her in a slow circle once, twice, three times. On the third rotation, he lifted her a little higher, and his lips brushed hers a soft, swift kiss, but one that made her lips tingle. You must be a fabulous mechanic, she murmured when her feet touched the ground. Hmm? His hand skimmed up and down her spine. Why's that? A little embarrassed by the corny truth of what she was about to say, she peered up at him from beneath her eyelashes and confessed, You have my engine humming. He chuckled softly, then moved his thumb to the pulse point on her wrist. Might be skipping a little. Professional pride makes me want to hear it purr. In that case, maybe you should take me out for a spin. Maybe I should, he murmured. Maybe I will. Caitlin thought her pulse really did skip a beat then, but instead of whisking her off the dance floor into the elevator and up to his room, Josh tightened his hold and led her into a spin worthy of Fred Astaire. When the song ended, he led her back to their table and said he was going for seconds on wedding cake, and did she want a piece? Yes, please. But cake wasn't really what she had in mind. They stayed at the reception until the bride and groom's departure. Caitlin was almost able to put her parents' presence at the hotel out of her mind. Almost. If it was a niggling thorn of reality in the sweet, sensual haze of desire running through her, well, she could ignore it. She would ignore it. She wondered if Josh would invite her up to his room for a drink, or would he expect her to issue the invitation to come to her room? She didn't know the details on how something like this was done. For a woman of her age and experience, she was woefully naive when it came to, well, hookups? First date sex? She didn't quite know how to define this. It wasn't a hookup. It might technically be a first date, but she didn't view it that way. She'd always think of their first date as the meal they'd shared after being rescued from the gondola. Always. Here she was using the A word in regard to Josh Tarkington. Getting a little ahead of yourself there, aren't you, Timberlake? After all, she wouldn't put it past her father to be lying in wait, ready to pounce just outside the ballroom. So she gestured toward the back exit. I'd like to go for a walk in the garden. Come with me. What followed was the very definition of a pregnant pause. Caitlin held her breath. Her mouth went dry. She tried very, very hard to ignore the thorn of her parents being somewhere in the hotel.
I would like that, Caitlin. I would like that very much.
Wait a moment while I grab my bag and shoes. It took more than a moment, since she was waylaid by college friends saying their goodbyes. Finally, with her shoes on her feet and the darling little Kate Spade evening bag that had been a gift from the bride dangling from her left hand, she and Josh exited the hotel. He took her hand and held it, and they walked without speaking for a time. Above them, an almost full moon rose over shadowed, craggy mountain peaks. Soft music drifted from the hotel's nightclub on the second floor. Caitlin all but swooned from the romance of the moment. They walked beside a stretch of grass when the torchy tune of Crazy drifted from the hotel's nightclub above them. Josh pulled her into his arms onto the lawn and asked,
"Can your feet handle one last dance, Ms. Timberlake?"
"Yes," she replied, answering that question and the one he had yet to ask. He held her close, and they mostly swayed. He made her feel petite and protected, and when he nuzzled her, pressing little kisses against her head, he made her feel hot. She shivered with anticipation and literally did purr. The song ended, the dance ended, and he kissed her sweetly before stepping away.
"I've spent a good chunk of my life wishing things were different. However, it's been a while since I traveled down that particular road. I could easily go there with you."
"Wait a minute.
I've had a great time with you these past 2 days, Caitlin. Not only are you drop-dead gorgeous, but you're fun and witty and, well, nice."
Caitlin wasn't sure where exactly he was going, but she sensed she wouldn't like it.
"You can't know how much I like that about you. I haven't known all that many nice women in my life."
Now Caitlin feared she did indeed know where this was headed, and she didn't like this road. She wanted to turn around.
"Josh..." He rested his finger against her mouth. "Hush. Let me say what I need to say."
"No.
I'd like nothing more than to take you back to my room and spend the rest of the night making love to you."
"Yes.
But it would be a mistake."
"No.
It would complicate both our lives." Her heart pounded.
"But life is supposed to be a little messy. That's what makes it interesting."
"Oh, sweetheart." Josh gave a humorless laugh. "Believe me, interesting is highly overrated."
Temper burned through the last of her sensual haze. "If this is because we ran into my parents,
it's because Eternity Springs might as well be Regency England."
"Excuse me?"
"I haven't ruined the Duke's daughter yet. I can look Lord Timberlake in the eyes as things stand now. But if I did what I want to do right now, what I think we both want me to do right now, he'd be well within his rights to challenge me to a duel. Your brother would be his second, and half the men in town would be there egging him on."
"That's ridiculous. You're probably right.
It's the women who would be out to tan my hide, or have me drawn and quartered, or dragged to the altar. Not sure which would be worse. I've never seen such a matchmaking group of mother hens in my life."
"Wait just 1 minute. Now you're making me mad."
"That's the idea," he murmured. Then he raked his fingers through his hair. "Caitlin, thank you for a fantastic weekend. But like the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. This is it for me. I'd walk you to your room, but it'd be just my luck to run into the Duke, or even worse, Celeste. If the women of Eternity Springs are matchmaking hens, then she is the High Holy Queen and ruler of the roost. I find it awfully fishy that she turned up here tonight, don't you?" Without waiting for her response, he put his hand at the small of her back and guided her toward the nearest doorway into the hotel.
Caitlin was still trying to process everything he'd just said, so she allowed him to move her along. It wasn't until he opened the door, all but shoved her inside, then took a step back, that she realized he didn't plan to walk her even as far as the elevators. Here? Now? Like this?
Thanks again. Good night, Caitlin. Goodbye.
Josh turned and took two steps away before Caitlin found her voice. You should work on your metaphors, Mr. Tarkington, and get to know your neighbors better. My father isn't a duke. He's a barrister. Mom absolutely isn't chicken about anything. She fricassees chicken. And I don't know what you could possibly have against Celeste Blessing because she's an angel. Ask anybody in town.
Have a safe trip back to New York, Ms. Timberlake, he called, just before disappearing into the darkness.
Caitlin folded her arms and stared at the spot where he'd disappeared. Back to New York, huh? Maybe for now, Mr. Tarkington. But not for long. Journal entry. The first time I ran away from home, I was 6 years old. I stuffed a backpack full of peanut butter crackers, clean underwear, Ninja Turtles, and 3 2-liter bottles of soda. As a result, my pack was too heavy for me to carry, so I dragged it behind me all the way to my hiding place beneath the next-door neighbor's shrubs. It was early autumn, and the leaves had begun to drop. My trail couldn't have been any clearer. Only, Mom never came looking for me. The neighbor's landscaper chased me from the bushes with a leaf rake. Later, I went back for my turtles, but the backpack was gone. The next time, I put my turtles in my pocket. Chapter 4 Josh retrieved Penny from the border first thing the following morning, then packed up and hightailed it for the backcountry, determined to get on with the serious business of vacationing. He hiked, he fished, he threw a tennis ball for Penny to chase, he lazed in a hammock and read a book. He dreamt about Caitlin Timberlake, damn it. He dreamt about her constantly every blasted night. By the following Friday, when he awoke with yet another raging erection following one more restless fantasy-filled night, he decided he needed a change of scenery. He drove to the airport in Montrose, parked his camper, kenneled his dog, and dug out his checkbook. He chartered a jet and headed off to Vegas for the remainder of his vacation. Sometimes a visit to the old neighborhood, so to speak, was exactly what he needed to keep him grounded. He returned home to Eternity Springs $80,000 richer, having hit on a high-stakes bet at the roulette wheel at the Wynn. Most people would have considered that lucky, because Josh's luck was Josh's luck. When he went to cash out, he'd run into one of his mother's current lovers. That had led to an ugly exchange and a subsequent phone call from his mom that had him eyeing the hotel room bar with longing. 4 days in Vegas had proved to be the perfect medicine to shake off the restlessness that Caitlin Timberlake had roused within him. He'd been more than ready to come home to the real and wholesome atmosphere of Eternity Springs. One afternoon, during Josh's second week back in town, Chase Timberlake came strolling into Tarkington Automotive. Josh wasn't surprised to see Caitlin's brother. He'd expected someone in the Timberlake family to show up to grill him. He'd hoped that Chase's wife, Lori, might be the designated interrogator. But when had his luck ever been that good? Nevertheless, he was ready to have this conversation and get it behind him so he could put a final period on the events in Telluride and move on with his blessed, boring life.
"Hey, Tarkington," Chase said. "Got a minute? I've been instructed to..." "Whoa! Is that a Lamborghini you're working on?" "Yup, a Miura P400 1967. "I don't think I've ever seen one of those before. They only produced a handful of them, right?" 110.
Wow. Chase made a slow circle around the coupe.
Now that's a car. What a beauty.
Does she run?
She's more at the walking stage right now, but when I'm finished, she'll run like an Olympic sprinter.
Man, I'd love to get behind the wheel of that. Who does she belong to?
She's a project car,
Josh replied, dodging the question. He gave the nut another twist with his wrench, then wiped his greasy hands on a red shop towel.
So, did you bring the thumb screws with you or what?
Huh? Distracted by the 350-horsepower engine on display beneath the Lamborghini's royal blue hood, Chase took a moment to remember the purpose of his visit.
Oh, yeah. I'm either supposed to beat you up or throw you a parade. You sure stored up a hornet's nest when you decided to hook up with my little sister.
It wasn't a hookup. We went on a date. We didn't sleep together. Parades aren't my thing, and if you hit me, I'll hit back.
Chase rubbed the back of his neck and twisted his lips as he considered it.
All right, then. I'd rather talk about cars anyway. My dad drives a Porsche. It was his midlife crisis car. When I was doing Thrill Seekers, we spent a lot of time in the French Riviera. Friends loaned me their Maserati to drive. Man, it was fun. Used to think if I ever settled somewhere, I'd get me one of my own.
You're pretty settled now.
Yep, driving a Jeep. And a pickup. And more often than not, an 8-passenger van. And I'm happy as a clam doing it. I found my thrill right here at home.
He gave the car another long once-over and added,
Wouldn't mind taking a turn behind the wheel of that once you get her running, though.
Was Josh's only response. He never let anyone drive his cars. For a couple of years, Josh and his mother had lived in the same neighborhood as a TV personality known for collecting classic cars. After Josh stood in the street and waved down the star to ask about the McLaren F1 he was driving, the star had invited Josh to tour his garage. That visit began as a love affair with automobiles that thrived to this day.
So, if you didn't sleep with Caitlin, what did you say to her to cause such a fecal tempest? What did you promise her?
What are you talking about?
I didn't promise her anything. I thanked her for a nice weekend and wished her a safe trip back to New York.
That's all?
Yes, that's all. What is she saying I promised her?
Nothing. She hasn't said a damn thing.
That's what has Mom and Dad so beside themselves.
He paused a moment, stared at Josh through hooded eyes, and said,
Dad thinks she's pregnant.
Josh blinked once, absorbed the charge, then fired,
Well, if she is, it's not by me. I didn't touch her, Chase.
Okay, okay. I believe you. I think the rents are overreacting. They've been wound tight for weeks now. I don't know what's the matter. Caitlin isn't the secretive type. She's honest and forthright.
She says what she means and means what she says. They just don't like what she's saying.
Which is? The words formed on Josh's tongue, but he swallowed them back. He'd thought about Caitlin Timberlake way too much as it was. He didn't need to know what she'd said or done to make her parents think she was pregnant. Not my monkey, not my circus. Nevertheless, the question fought its way past his lips.
What is she saying?
He thought he'd managed to keep the question casual, but he wondered how well he'd succeeded when Chase narrowed his eyes and studied him. After a moment, Chase shrugged.
Not a whole lot. Just that she has a big announcement to make, but she wants to do it in person.
Mom is afraid that she quit her job, and I swear, she's more worried about that than an accidental pregnancy.
Josh returned his wrench to its spot on his workbench.
Caitlin told me she'd been thinking of making a career change for quite a while. Why would your mother want her to stay in a job she's not happy in?
It's not that. Mom, and Dad, too, just have a hard time seeing her as an adult who knows her own mind. She's the baby of the family, the only girl, and in their defense, she has bounced around a lot job-wise. I think that's the nature of the industry she's in, but to my parents it labels her as flighty. I also think they're afraid she'll find her wanderlust like I did. My previous lifestyle pretty much drove my parents crazy. Josh had heard the story of Chase's previous lifestyle. A jet-setting action photographer engaged to marry his co-worker, the beautiful star of the TV series Thrill Seekers. Chase Timberlake all but owned real estate in the tabloid newspapers. All that changed when he'd gone missing in the terrorist-infested mountains of Chizikstan and been feared dead. Eternity Springs had rejoiced when he'd returned home safely. They'd celebrated when he'd married the town's favored daughter, Lori Murphy. "Now that I've settled down," Chase continued, "the family waters are calm. Mom and Dad like that. I don't think they're anxious to see it change, but look. I'm sorry I dumped you into the family dirty laundry basket, as long as you didn't knock Caitlin up, that is. So, all is well. Except I have a toothache and my dental appointment isn't for another hour. I need a distraction. So, where's this wonder dog my bride has been telling me about?" Josh allowed the change of subject. "Penny is in the office. I expect she's sleeping. Otherwise, she'd have wandered out here at the sound of your voice. Mind if I look? Be my guest." Josh hooked a thumb over his shoulder, pointing toward his office. As Chase disappeared into it, Josh took a seat at his workbench and focused his attention on the carburetor he was rebuilding for one of the mowers Brick had dropped off for service. He intended to studiously avoid the thumb drive his brother had delivered along with it. Just because Brick didn't like bookkeeping didn't mean he couldn't do it. Just because Josh liked to tinker with numbers almost as much as he liked to mess around with engines didn't mean he should continue to have his fingers in his brother's financial world. He no longer drew a paycheck from Stardance Ranch RV Resort. They needed a clean separation. When he decided to take Brick up on his job offer, he'd agreed to work as a handyman and general assistant around the park. The bookkeeping aspect of the job had come about in self-defense. After listening to Brick moan and groan as he fought with his accounting software. But Josh had never felt good about it, because it seemed wrong to know so much about Brick's financial business when he wasn't being honest about his own. Chase strolled back into the garage with Penny in his arms, wheelchair and all. "Now, this is quite a contraption. Lori told me you'd modified the wheelchair design. I get the reason for the fenders on the tires, but what's the purpose of the spoiler?" Josh surmised that Chase referred to the U-shaped metal support bracket he'd added to Penny's cart. "It's a stabilizer, although the Callahan twins have convinced me to add a clamp for a flag." "For safety?" "That's my reason for agreeing, but they're girls, girls who have grown up around Sage Rafferty's snowdrop." Chase nodded. "Oh, of course, the best-dressed dog in Eternity Springs." He set Penny on the ground, scratched her behind the ears, then added, "You're not gonna put this dog in costumes, are you?" "Are you kidding me? Penny has standards. Now, I might start putting her in diapers if we don't manage to get that issue on a better schedule, but she's not wearing any tutus." "That's good to hear." Chase watched Josh scowl down at the dirt in the carburetor and added, "Could I talk you into submitting a bid to service the equipment we have up at the Rocking L?" The Rocking L was a summer camp established by Eternity Springs philanthropists Jack and Kat Davenport. Chase had just finished his first summer as camp director, and by all reports had done a fabulous job. Josh asked, "What sort of equipment?" "Lawn equipment primarily, but we also have utility vehicles and four-wheelers. A couple of vans and an ancient school bus that hasn't run since a donor drove it up the mountain. I can email you a complete list, or if you have the time, you could come up to camp and see firsthand what we have." "I'll come up and take a look." Josh liked the thought of working on a school bus engine. He'd never tinkered with one of those before. "Great." They set a date and time the following week for Josh's visit, and as Chase strode toward the open garage bay door, Josh called, "Hey, Timberlake." "Yeah?"
When is your sister planning to make her big announcement?
Sometime tomorrow.
Chase glanced over his shoulder.
They expect her to arrive by mid-afternoon.
Tomorrow. Caitlin was coming to town.
Tomorrow.
It's too soon.
When you see her, tell her I...
Josh's voice trailed off. He hadn't a clue as to what he'd intended to say.
Yes? You what?
Idiot. You'd be a fool to so much as crack that door open.
Nothing. Never mind.
A glimmer of amusement sparked in Chase's eyes. For the life of me, I don't know why I ever thought Eternity Springs was boring.
See you next week, Tarkington. If not sooner.
The sound of Chase's laughter floated on the September breeze and caused a flutter of unease to work its way up Josh's spine. The sensation only grew stronger when he heard Chase add, "This is gonna be fun." Journal entry. I did, do, I guess, have family. Blood family, to use my mother's term. I always thought she sounded venomous when she said it, like she'd wanted to spill some blood where they were concerned. Understandable, to a point. My half-sister Amelia is 9 months older than me. My other half-sister, Arabella, is 6 months younger than I am. Yeah, do the math. I've never met them. My mother and my father's mistress were bitter enemies. My half-brother was 6 years older than me. His mother was my father's first wife, a star on Broadway. Her son inherited her voice. He was the lead singer for a rock band that never quite made it. He used to show up on our doorstep from time to time and turn the charm on, thawing my mother's frost. She always let him stay. She couldn't turn him away. He took after our father, tall with black hair and the famous eyes. Movie star handsome, of course. His name was Andrew Barrison Trammell, though everyone called him Drew Bear. I had a big case of hero worship toward Drew Bear. He liked me. He played with me. He paid attention to me, a healthy kind of attention. He hung a basketball hoop on our garage without even asking my mother, and we'd play horse and pig. One time he brought his baseball card collection and let me look through it. We spent hours and hours and hours talking baseball. Drew Bear's dream wasn't to be a rock star. He wanted to play shortstop for the Dodgers. He had a big case of hero worship for Pee Wee Reese. When we weren't shooting hoops or playing catch or studying stats, Drew Bear played board games with me. Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, some marble game you played on a tin star. I remember trying to get him to play video games, but he wasn't interested. He liked the old-fashioned stuff, he always said. He committed suicide when I was 10. I saw on the news that he'd overdosed with aspirin, of all things. He left me his baseball card collection. Maybe one of these days I'll look at it. Chapter 5. In the bedroom she used when she visited her parents at their home above Heartache Falls, Caitlin tried to wheel her brother's Jeep into his customary parking spot on the driveway. She'd arrived 20 minutes ago, and she knew her time was running out. Her parents had a hot seat warmed up and waiting for her downstairs. It was a miracle she'd put them off this long. They tried their best to give her the third degree when she called to say she wanted to visit them. She'd managed to dodge their questions on the phone, and they hadn't hit her with their queries the minute she arrived today. But she knew her parents. They wouldn't let her hide upstairs for long. But Caitlin really, really wanted Chase here when she broke her news to her parents. So she'd called this morning and given him a heads up about her intentions. He'd promised to do his best to be here when she arrived, but had warned her he had a dentist appointment that might delay him.
"Nervy of you to have a toothache when I need you,"
she'd teased him with only a little whine in her voice. "I'm definitely a nervy kind of guy today," he'd responded. She caught a note in his voice that suggested he referred to something more than a toothache, but he'd ended the call before she could pursue the question. Caitlin turned away from the window when a knock sounded on her bedroom door. Her mother said, "Honey, is everything all right?"
"Yes, I'm fine. Just changing clothes. I'll be down in a minute."
"Okay, I'll put the kettle on. I have the turmeric ginger tea you like."
"Thanks, Mom."
Caitlin opened her suitcase and pulled out yoga pants, a t-shirt, and sneakers, and quickly changed her clothes. She stared at her reflection in the mirror, took a deep breath, then said, "You can do this. You're an adult. It's your life to live, your decisions to make." True. But this was the first time in her life she was going to purposefully disappoint her parents, which was why she felt like a 9-year-old going before the bad report card tribunal. They waited for her in the kitchen. Her mother had one of her favorite tea sets out, a fine hand-painted porcelain set with yellow pansies on the teapot, teacups, and saucers. Her father sat at the kitchen table sipping what she guessed was scotch from a crystal highball glass. "Seriously, Dad? In the middle of the afternoon?" Why did they think she'd come home? To tell them she had cancer? She found out what her father thought the minute she took her seat.
"You're pregnant, aren't you?"
Max set his glass down hard on the farmhouse kitchen table.
"Was it that Oklahoma mechanic?"
"That's what they think? That I'm pregnant?" Caitlin was appalled not only by the accusation, but also by the scathing tone in her father's voice when he referred to Josh. What did her dad have against Josh Tarkington? At the same moment, her mother snapped, "Oh, Mac!"
"Well?"
He flung up his hand.
"Why not cut through all the BS? Why else would she make a middle-of-the-week trip home less than a month after her weekend with that grease monkey? She's in trouble."
"Dad!" Caitlin was flabbergasted. Who was this man, and what had he done with her father? Mac Timberlake didn't jump to conclusions. He was steady and deliberate and fair. He'd been a federal judge, for heaven's sake. He never called people names. The only time she could remember his acting so out of character was when his own marriage was on the rocks. On the rocks. In trouble. Caitlin's chin dropped. She darted a glance toward her mother, then back to her dad, then again to her mother. Oh, no. Maybe Mac's reaction had nothing to do with her. In trouble? Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. In that moment, the years rolled away and she was a freshman in college once again, reliving the phone call from Mom, dropping the bomb that she'd left Denver and Mac. As she recalled that pain, tears immediately welled in Caitlin's eyes.
"She's crying."
Max shoved to his feet, almost knocking his chair over in the process.
"I'm right. Damn it, I knew it. I swear I'm gonna kill that low-down, long-haired, land-thieving, carburetor-screwing, scumbag pretty boy."
"What?" Caitlin pushed to her feet, too. "What are you talking about? I'm not pregnant. I'm moving." "Are you? Is that what's going on here? Are you two splitting up again?" Now her mother rose to her feet. "Caitlin, you're moving?"
"You're not pregnant?"
her father asked. "Are you and Mom getting divorced?"
"Divorced?"
her parents exclaimed simultaneously. A new voice rose over the chaos.
"What in the wide, weird world of Timberlake is going on here?"
Chase strode into the kitchen, his expression curious but calm. He chose a red apple from the fruit basket on the counter beside the Sub-Zero fridge and took a bite as Caitlin and her mother both exclaimed, "Chase!" Except for the day of his return from Chizikstan, Caitlin had never in her life been so happy to see her brother. Her father asked,
"What are you doing here?"
"Well, now there's a welcome."
Chase met Caitlin's gaze and winked.
"Bet he didn't greet you like that. You've always been the favorite."
Caitlin offered her brother a weak smile and blinked back tears as her mother asked, "Is Lori with you?"
No, Mom, I'm afraid you're limited to seeing only my ugly mug.
Mac twisted his head and met his wife's gaze.
He's in on this. He knows what's going on.
Allie covered her hand with her mouth.
She needed backup. Oh, Mac, it's worse than we thought.
What is worse? Chase asked. I don't know anything. What's going on?
Is their marriage in trouble again?
Caitlin demanded of her brother.
What?
Chase frowned in confusion.
No, not from anything I've seen. Recently, I might add, just yesterday. I can't tell you how embarrassing it is to open the yellow kitchen supply closet and find your parents mugging down like teenagers.
You had no business opening that door,
Allie snapped.
Hey, I heard noises. I thought you had a critter in the restaurant. I was trying to do a good thing.
Chase shifted his attention to his sister.
Why do you think they're having problems?
Caitlin hesitated. How could she explain the conclusion to which she'd jumped? It was almost as stupid as what her father had decided.
People around here are jumping to conclusions, so I thought I'd join in.
He dropped the baby bomb, didn't he?
Chase shot his father a disapproving look.
Come on, Dad. I told you not to go there.
Caitlin's eyes widened.
He rolled his theory by you? Gee, Dad, did you take out an ad in the Eternity Times, too?
Allie held up her hand. Excuse me. Can we talk about this move? Have you been transferred, Caitlin? Is that what you've dreaded telling us? Where are they sending you? Paris, London, Rome, or maybe Dublin? Irish textiles are fabulous. Is it a promotion? Surely it's a promotion.
Caitlin shut her eyes and sighed.
I wasn't transferred, Mom. I wasn't promoted. Shooting a glare at her dad, she added,
and for the last time, I'm not pregnant.
I quit my job.
Allie's eyes went as round as the saucer beneath her untouched teacup.
You quit?
Why? A better job? You must have gotten a better job.
Not exactly. I'm not going to look for another job.
A crunch sounded as Chase took a bite of his crisp red apple. Allie ignored the drink in front of her and reached for her husband's scotch.
I'm lost, Mac said. Why did you quit your job? And why did you ask your brother to show up within minutes of your arrival? What? Oh, damn.
Blindly, Mac reached for Allie's hand.
Are you sick, Pumpkin?
I'm not sick. I'm not pregnant. I'm happy as a pup with two tails. I quit my job, and I'm going to open a daycare center in Eternity Springs.
For a long moment, nobody spoke. Nobody moved. Then abruptly, Allie tossed back the entire contents of Mac's glass, then reached for the bottle to refill it.
A daycare center? You want to open a daycare center?
Yes.
A daycare.
Allie took a drink.
Yes, a daycare, Caitlin snapped,
frustration humming through her veins. Allie drummed her fingers on the tabletop and finally asked the questions Caitlin had expected and prepared to answer.
Why in the world would you do that?
Because I want to live in Eternity Springs.
I repeat, why? You're a city girl. You've always been a city girl. Have I imagined all those times in the past 10 years when you griped and complained about being bored here? I do believe you're the one who coined the term Boonieville when referring to Eternity Springs.
That was a long time ago, Mother. I was angry at you for leaving Dad in Denver. And I didn't see the appeal of small-town life, especially not this small town. But things have changed since then. I've changed since then.
She met a mechanic, Mac grumbled.
Both women ignored him. Allie said,
Yes, you have an education and an established career.
And I can take what I've learned and apply it to my new occupation.
Babysitting. Entrepreneurship.
What do you know about running a business?
Caitlin's foot started tapping.
As much as you knew when you started the Yellow Kitchen, I imagine.
Chase frowned. Come on, Caitlin, don't zip it, bro.
She folded her arms and glared at her mother.
I'm not an idiot, mother.